Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to One Up Delivered Through the AI Podcast Channel. It's me, Guy. We are back. As we say, it's always the summer. We're back quicker than usual. And Carl's with me. How are you doing, Carl?
Not too bad, Guy. I mean, I was going to say, no podcast for 4 months, and now we give you two podcasts in 5 days. We really are spoiling you.
We are indeed. And it is going to be busy because we do have this preview, then we're going to react to Summer Game Fest, which we're not watching live. we'll watch later on, just to give the behind the curtain look there. But we'll watch that later and give reactions. Did we say Friday, Carl?
Yeah. We'll get it recorded on stage tomorrow.
Yep, so I'll release that either Friday night or Saturday, and then this one should be out tonight as well, which is Thursday. So yeah, a good few shows for you there. But we'll get into the news. We don't want it to be too long because it's a shorter shelf life. We'll go through the news, Carl. Do you want to take us through the first one?
Yeah, so our first story, Hideo Kojima reportedly developing a horror game called Overdose, and this comes from Matt Wales over at Eurogamer, and Matt writes, Hideo Kojima, designer of the legendary Metal Gear series and 2019's Death Stranding, is reportedly working on a new horror game starring actress Margaret Qualley called Overdose. That's according to ceaseless leaker Tom Henderson, who, writing for Tryhard Guides, claims to have been sent early footage featuring a character portrayed by Qualley, who previously played Mama in Death Stranding, roaming through dark corridors with a flashlight in her hand. Henderson says the sequence, displayed from a third-person perspective, although a first-person mode is also rumored, culminates in a jump scare that brings a game-over message up on screen. That's reportedly followed by the caption, quote, a Hideo Kojima game, Overdose, end quote. Overdose, if real, would be the second project rumored to be in development at Kojima Productions. Recently, actor Norman Reedus said he had, quote, just started, end quote, working on a second Death Stranding game, although the sequel has yet to be officially unveiled. And you can read the full story over at Eurogamer. So yeah, Kojima, you know, despite his great attempts to have these big lead-ins to his announcements and such, two leaks in the space of a month. But I guess, you know, you could say, are people finally getting their Silent Hills?
They're not Silent Hill. Possibly. I think we've mentioned this before. I've never really played the Kojima thing. I had the odd Metal Gear thing. Not really a horror dude. So this doesn't really do much for me. I didn't play Amazon Prime Simulator, but that was apparently quite good. This kind of kills off the... Unless his studio's massive, compared to what we thought. His Xbox game leak, unless this is surprisingly it. People have been wanting this type of game from him for a while, haven't they? And it'll have its huge audience. I can't remember if you... I know you kind of like Kojima, but...
I grew up with Metal Gear Solid. You know, I recall my older brother borrowing Metal Gear Solid back on the PS1, and you know, I dabbled with it myself, and then as I grew older, obviously on the PS2, I owned both Metal Gear Solid 2 and Metal Gear Solid 3. which was my favorite, was the third one. I adore that game. Like, it's right up there as one of my favorite games of all time. I kind of fell off the series since then. I own Metal Gear Solid 4 and 5, but I just haven't really gotten the chance to go back to them. But I mean, all in all, I would consider myself, I also played actually Peacemaker on the PSP, now that I think about it, but, I would consider myself a Metal Gear fan. And on top of that, I did play the PT demo. It did make me jump out of my seat a couple times.
Good man.
Quality demo. I still actually have that demo installed on my PS4 Pro, which some people claim adds value to your PS4 Pro. I don't have it for that reason. I just have it because it's cool to have, and if you delete it, it's gone forever. But you know, I'm a fair weather Silent Hill fan. You know, I've played some of the games. You know, I even enjoy the movie, which I know will be a controversial opinion. Apparently they're actually working on a third movie, although the second one was a bit crap. But that's sidetracking. But I am intrigued to see kind of how those two worlds would have came together with Kojima and Silent Hill. Obviously we won't see that now, but this is next best thing. Another different horror game from Kojima. As you said, Amazon Package Delivery Simulator, aka Death Stranding, it does have a great rep. I do own it and I plan to play it. And then the PS5 version got released, so I've kind of been waiting for the PS5 version to come down a little bit in price to pick up that and finally give it a go myself. But I'm certainly intrigued by this. And you kind of stole my thunder in that, you know, I was going to ask you the question, like, do you think this could potentially be kind of Xbox, the Xbox exclusive from Kojima that was rumored? And, you know, if so, how massive is that for Xbox?
Yeah, I think if it is the Xbox one, it's massive. Just because it's Kojima alone who has such a long rooted relationship with PlayStation, obviously going solo, and then his first game is Death Stranding, which is PlayStation exclusive. Metal Gear Solid is, I think it's apart from 4 and 5, were they all PlayStation? I think.
Yeah.
I think so.
One and four were PlayStation exclusives, although one did eventually get ported to, or remade rather, for the GameCube.
Right.
But two, three, and five would have all came to other consoles.
Which one's
at some
four?
Point. The one with Old Man Snake.
I am thinking of 5.1, because that got split into two, didn't it?
It was effectively a demo, Ground Zeroes, and then there was Phantom Pain.
Right, okay, because I was going to say, I remember playing, I must have thought it was four. Yeah, I played Ground Zero and I got bored. But hey ho. But yeah, if it is, it's massive for Xbox. Maybe they would have wanted a more general game from Kojima. But that just makes me, because I will never play this game, because I don't do jump scary stuff. I just don't. But yeah, if it is the Xbox exclusive long rumored one, yeah, it's a huge get. It'll have its massive fan base. If it's the closest thing to Silent Hill, or was it a PT demo? Yeah. If it is that type of thing, that's massive for that community. And it is a big get for Xbox. I mean, not a big get for me personally as an Xbox fan, but yeah, it's in the wider scheme of gaming, it is massive. So yeah, it would be a good get, but we'll see. But I suppose it'll be happening tonight if so. Right, I'll take us through the next one, and you can talk about this because it means more to you. Last of Us PS5 remake has leaked. It will cost $70. This is from Eurogamer by Victoria Kennedy. Ahead of tonight's Super Games Fest, Sony's The Last of Us Part 1 remake, one of the worst-kept secrets in the industry today, has leaked. So yes, it is real, and not only is it real, but it will be releasing as soon as September the 2nd, words guy, for the PlayStation 5 at a retail price of $70. To accompany this news, we got our first look at the remake in action thanks to a brand new trailer. The Ellie and Joel that we first met all the way back in 2013 now have a much sleeker look, but it is most certainly still there. There is fighting, there is compassion, and there are enough clickers to give one spores for thought throughout the reveal. Rather nicely, the game's DLC, Left Behind, will also be included in the remake. Towards the end of the trailer, we also got told that the remake is going to be making its way to PC at some point, although no time frame was given. So, Carl, this has been rumoured for a long-ass time now. I think we've probably talked about the fact that it exists a lot, but feel free to add on to that. But full price of $70, I'm guessing that translates into 70 quid as well. Are you surprised by that? Or I know people say it's the best game ever. Are people willing to pay that? They probably will be.
Yeah, I mean, that is the kind of one downer on this, because like they're you know, it had been long rumored, this game, obviously, as I said, it wasn't a well-kept secret. I think it was initially in development at a new studio working at a Santa Monica, I believe, and then it got brought in-house at Naughty Dog, and they seemed to decide to use it as kind of a testing ground for the PS5's capabilities before they kind of double down on whatever their next big project is. So we knew it was coming, and then I think there was rumors, you know, in the last few weeks that it was coming this year and was going to be revealed soon. So this doesn't come as a surprise in any sense. But the price is surprising, because obviously there, you know, people wondered how much a remake of a game that's already been released twice before. You know, it was on the PS3 and then it got remastered for PS4. You know, how much people would be willing to pay for a thing they've probably played a couple times and may own on two platforms already, which I'm one of those people. So people looked at Last of Us Factions, which is another long rumored Last of Us project, which is, you know, was originally supposed to be the multiplayer component of The Last of Us 2. And then it seemed to grow so large that they supposedly decided to spin it out as its own thing. But there was kind of suggestions in recent weeks that maybe we could see Factions bundled with The Last of Us Remake, and that would make it kind of a value for money for a full price game. Obviously, that isn't the case. We haven't heard anything on Factions, and it looks like Last of Us Remake is going to be a $70 game. And that's a bit of a shame, because I think for me, you know, I'll have to kind of be reserved and just wait, because I just don't think I could justify that to myself. You know, the game, I've watched the trailer, it certainly looks better, but I don't think like The Last of Us Remastered on PS4 looks like a bad game in any sense. Like I don't necessarily think it needed a remake. You know, so I feel for me, I'll kind of just wait on this one. And, you know, when I finally get that itch to replay The Last of Us, obviously I'm going to want to replay the best version. So I'll pick it up then. But obviously I don't speak for every PlayStation fan, and I have a feeling a lot of people are going to go out and get this and want to play it. And the bigger news yet is obviously that it will come to the PC eventually. And I think the turnaround time between games getting to PlayStation and getting to PC are getting smaller and smaller. Mm. I mean, there was only rumors there last week or so, I think, that Demon's Souls, the remake, is coming to PC soon. So, you know, the exclusivity window is, you know, it's getting to the point where I think eventually it's probably going to be day and date. And some people had suggested that about this game, you know, would it be day and date? Guessing the way they revealed it, it's not going to be, but I wouldn't be surprised if we see this on PC in early 2023. And that means a lot of people who never got to play The Last of Us because they're not console gamers are going to get the chance to play it. And that's massive, because as you said, like it is one of those games that's in an argument for like the most impressive game of all time. And I'd certainly count it up there. So it's cool to think that the people are going to get the opportunity to play it that didn't before.
Yeah, that almost seems like the justification of making it is that if they're bringing it to a new audience of PC, which I assume is the biggest audience, I have no idea, but it's a huge audience nevertheless, and obviously it'll have people in the PlayStation market as well. They might as well have made a new version of it, regardless of how big the improvement is. If they bring it at its best, it's going to attract, firstly, a new generation of people who may not have played it, a new customer of people from the PC market, and if it looks its best running at PC specs as well, it's going to look super duper its best. So yeah, I think that's probably the justification of it, rather than if it was just launching on and only a PlayStation game, it'd be kind of, as you said, I mean, what it was 4K upgrade to the PlayStation 4 quite early on in the PlayStation 4.
Within the first year.
Yeah, so it's been a little while, but it's not been like Dark Souls, has it? I don't think it's been that long.
No.
So, yeah, I don't think it was in that much of a need to be remade in that regard, but because it's hitting a new market, I think it does make sense. But yeah, it is a shame it's not. Well, it might get leaked tonight, that is. But it's a shame it's not coming with factions at the minute. This might be outdated by the time Summer Game Fest is done. But I suppose they could add that to the launcher or something like that. Maybe have it as a, I don't know how big factions was as a multiplayer. Maybe they add that as an extra 20 quid add-on or something, or 30 quid add-on. But if it's a standalone game, as it meant to be, it might be worth more than that. I'm not sure. But yeah, I'm one of these people who's never experienced Last of Us. Now, I do have it. I have it downloaded on my PlayStation 5, but I ended up just picking Detroit Become Human instead, because mainly to annoy people. I might give it a go, but I'm not too bothered about the remake. Plus, I already have the remaster one, so yeah, I'd rather just give that one a whirl, because it'll all be new to me. Right, third news story. Do you want to go through this one, Carl?
Yeah, so Modern Warfare 2 revealed in a new Call of Duty trailer, speaking about best kept secrets in the industry. And this one comes from Austin Goslin over at Polygon, and Austin writes, "The next mission for Task Force 141 has been revealed in the first trailer for Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. Developer Infinity Ward released a trailer on Wednesday along with some information about the upcoming Modern Warfare sequel. The latest Call of Duty game will be released on October 28th. The game's campaign will follow Task Force 141 with members like Price, Soap, Gaz, and Ghost from the previous game, as attempts to stop a hostile threat to the United States. Of course, Modern Warfare 2 will also include Call of Duty's trademark multiplayer with a variety of maps and modes. Infinity Ward will also release a sequel to the Call of Duty Battle Royale Warzone sometime later this year after the release of Modern Warfare 2. Modern Warfare 2 will also be the first Call of Duty game built on the series' new engine, which will run its games going forward. All three of the series' main developers, Infinity Ward, Treyarch, and Sledgehammer Games, contributed to work on the engine to ensure that they could keep their sub-series unique." And you can get the full story over on Polygon. So, as I said, Kai, it wasn't exactly a secret. We knew this was coming. In fact, you know, the rumors, the constant rumors about it, kind of made me think lately that I finally need to give Modern Warfare a go. I picked it up a few months ago, so I think I'm going to crack into that at some point over the weekend. You obviously, as far as I'm aware, played Modern Warfare already. I mean, are you excited for this one?
I don't know. I think I may have finally grown out of COD. But that doesn't mean I won't get it. I'll probably get it via game sharing. That's the problem. Like, I wouldn't spend the 70, 80 odd quid on it, to be honest. But my mate will buy us it. Modern Warfare was the last campaign I played, because Vanguard wasn't that good, apparently, for the campaign, and Cold War was meant to have a good campaign. I just never got around to it. And the game was kind of crap. I enjoyed Modern Warfare more than the other two games I mentioned there. It was the last, and that one obviously was the Warzone engine, so that started Warzone, basically. I think the bigger news is that Warzone 2 is coming out with this, because COD multiplayer is dead. I think PvP multiplayer, it has to be something really unique to survive in this industry, in this environment now. You look at Halo, I mean, Halo is not a jam-packed content game by any means, but that had a 2-week stretch, and then it kind of died a death because it didn't have new content, but it was also just arena shooter, so it's not really a developed thing. So I think people will enjoy the game itself, Modern Warfare 2, but the big news there is Warzone 2, because Warzone, although I've not played it through, maybe not this year. I think maybe the end of last year was probably the last time I was playing Warzone semi-regularly. It's kind of been a hot mess. Like, you look at all the people who stream it and stuff like that, which is one of the biggest industries. People have just gone off it. I mean, there's plenty that still do play it because it's a career for them. COD gets the highest numbers and stuff like that. But some of the biggest streamers have moved on to Apex permanently and stuff like that. Some have moved flipping and out of Apex, another game. But COD Warzone, I think it didn't really develop with the times. I mean, if you compare it to Apex, that updates constantly. That has half-season splits, so the map updates and all that. And changes the map that's already got multiple maps, whereas Warzone, it made Verdansk, which everyone was complaining about by the end, got the new map, which is shit. Nobody likes Caldera. But the one change, I think they changed the odd point of interest in it, but it's not a big change, and the big event they had was King Kong v Godzilla, which was kind of shit, apparently. So, yeah, I think Modern Warfare 2, they really need to look at the Fortnite market and where keep content constant. It can't be months without anything. You need to be looking at Apex and Fortnite in the Battle Royale stage. Maybe Apex will never hit the heights of something like Fortnite, but look, Respawn's one of the best in the business for a reason. It just is. So, yeah, I think it's good that I will play the Modern Warfare 2 campaign, probably play multiplayer for a week or so, but Warzone 2 is going to be the big question mark. If that's good, it'll be the king of the Battle Royales, absolutely, but will it be enough to make me choose that over Apex? Probably for a couple of weeks, but if it's just the same as Warzone 1 with little added bits and a new map and stuff like that, I'll probably end up back on Apex, and maybe Overwatch 2 is out by then. But I'd just saying it now, when it's on paper, I think it'll have to be something new and very unique to get me away from Apex and looking forward to Overwatch 2 in the similar sphere. So it's big news, but I think I may have finally grown out of COD.
Yeah, I mean, it happens to us all. You know, it seems like only yesterday that I was playing a lot of Call of Duty, but in reality, it was a long, long time ago. I think Black Ops was the last one I really got stuck into. But I do still enjoy the campaigns, and although I've missed a good few, there's a lot of them on my backlog. You know, I think I'd put Modern Warfare ahead of them all, and I do have all intents of playing Modern Warfare, and as a result I will also have intentions to play this at some point. But really, for me, I'm solely interested in the campaign, so for that reason you probably won't see me pick this up until either it's in the bargain bin or
it's in Game Pass next year.
Probably next year. So you know, which is a good opportunity to finally crack on with it. But you know, I do like kind of what they're doing here with kind of the reboot of Modern Warfare, and so it is cool that it didn't end at just the one. As for Warzone, obviously Battle Royale isn't my jam. I dabbled with it briefly, but I don't think I'm ever going to go back there. But, you know, I see exactly where you're coming from with that. I think, you know, from what I gather, you know, from listening, on looking in from the outside, it does seem that kind of Warzone was this big exciting thing at first, but it seemed to fizzle out, whereas the likes of Apex Legends and Fortnite have, you know, much more longevity in them. So I think they probably have to address that with Warzone 2.0, and it'd be interesting to see how they go about doing so.
If it wasn't COD, I think Warzone would have died, like properly dead a long time ago. I think that's probably the best way to word it, but yeah, because it's COD, it markets itself. Right, this comes from our man Carl himself. Thank you for typing that up, Carl. Microsoft made a number of announcements today ahead of the showcase later this week, which we'll be coming out to in a sec. Firstly, Microsoft announced a plan to roll out the ability for Xbox Game Pass Ultimate members to play via the cloud select games they already own or have purchased outside the Xbox Game Pass library. That's due later this year. Next, from 30th June, you'll be able to play cloud-enabled Game Pass Ultimate games without the need of a console via Samsung Smart TVs. Microsoft plans to roll this feature out to other TVs over time. Microsoft also announced plans to pay developers to create demos for Xbox Game Pass. The initiative is called Project Moorcroft, an asset to roll out in the near future. The Microsoft Edge browser is set for new gaming features, including some xCloud gaming integrations. There are also new updates for Windows 11, which include optimizations to improve latency, unlock auto HDR, and variable refresh rate. Now, Carl, this seems... A lot of what I've seen seems to have dismissed this, but we did, must have been a couple of years ago now, our previews of what next-gen gaming could be, probably after the gen we're in now. And we mentioned it probably will go console-less. And this seems like the first step of it. I think PlayStation did this, kind of, a couple of years ago. But with Xbox, we know cloud-based gaming is their thing. That's their thing they're developing for the future. I just got rid of a Samsung TV in my front room where I probably use this for a Sony one, so that's good news for me. But yeah, there's a couple things here, but that playing games from the Xbox app on your Samsung telly seems like the start of maybe the future.
Yeah, I mean, as you said, we talked about that before, and we're kind of already there. I know, obviously, it's not the most popular service, but why am I blanking on Google?
Stadia,
yeah, Stadia. Well, it is forgettable, in fairness, but this is the one point where it's relevant. Obviously, you know, we already kind of have that with Stadia. I think there's some smart TVs that are compatible with Stadia. Actually, my own is, because I saw the app actually when I was browsing through at some point. So it's there, and I do believe, I don't quote me completely on this one, but I believe there are some Sony TVs that are compatible with PlayStation Now. So I think in a way Microsoft are somewhat catching up on this, but given how popular their service is, I think this would be a lot more intriguing to gamers than Stadia being available on their TVs. So, you know, this is obviously, as we said, the direction we're probably moving in, you know, in 10 years time, you'll probably just have like a PlayStation app, an Xbox app, a Nintendo app all on your smart TV. You know, you won't have game consoles. You probably still have game controllers. But you won't have consoles. You won't have discs. And, you know, for me, that's sad because I love boxed games, but that's a conversation for another day. But it certainly is a step towards that. But I mean, a couple other areas where this is intriguing for me is Project Moorcroft, the demos. We never really got to talk about it because it kind of all happened while we weren't doing the show. But obviously, Sony announced their subscription service, which is launching in Europe later this month. And a a thing they got a lot of praise for was game demos, and people pointed out how that's the one thing Game Pass doesn't have. And lo and behold, here's Phil Spencer saying, "Hold my beer, you're going to get game demos." You know, that's a big move for Game Pass in my eyes.
Yeah, it is. You got to copy the opposition every now and then, or the competition now and again. It is a good idea. I think it is. It's almost the same. We see with EA Play, you get a 10-hour trial of some games. I think it works better with EA games because they tend to be sports titles, so you're not really, you can't just really piss through a story in 10 hours. You play a game of FIFA for 10 hours. But I think that's one of the biggest draws to something like EA Play. It is the fact you get a 10-hour trial, and this is obviously a similar road, a similar house, really. But yeah, if they're good demos, it's just a good thing for gamers, really. It just is. It's almost protects you from, I suppose, if it's in Game Pass, the game will be coming to Game Pass, but if third party people want to get involved with it as well.
Yes, yeah, so I think that that's the idea, that it will be, you know, it will be games separate to, like, it'll be part of Game Pass, but it won't be Game Pass games. You know, it'll be, you know, maybe not all games per se, but, you know, kind of select games, you know, the new, let's say, for example, the new Assassin's Creed or something. Yeah. You know, you might get like an hour demo for the new Assassin's Creed straight into Game Pass. And that's a nice opportunity to kind of try before you buy. Personally, demos, for the most part, aren't of a great appeal to me these days, because I feel, you know, I know what series I like. I know what kind of games I like. You know, I do my research on them before I go and buy. So I don't need to sit down and play a demo. But there has been occasions where a demo's came out and I've given it a try, and it's maybe convinced me to buy a game I wouldn't have. So I'm certainly intrigued by this on both Xbox and PlayStation platforms. It's just a nice little feature. But it's just good move by Xbox. I don't know if it's completely reactionary. You know, I don't know. You know, like, it could be that, I'd assume Microsoft probably, you know, you don't just throw something together like this in the space of a week or two. And, you know, unless, you know, espionage is a play here and they kind of spied on PlayStation, a new PlayStation were planning it. But I don't feel Spencer is that much of a Bond villain, you know. So I'd say they had this, you know, this is just a coincidence. But, it's a good move for them nonetheless to have it as well. But my last point really on this is, you know, I applaud Microsoft for just coming out and getting these announcements out of the way instead of the showcase. Because I don't like in showcases when they start talking about services. I mean, improvements to the service are important and they're great, but they can easily be handled in kind of like a press release like these were. You know, we don't need them. We just want to see games at a conference. So I applaud that move.
But you can't wait for the Game Pass family plan. That'll get a good 10-minute announcement. but yeah, I agree. I think, especially that they've got the Game Showcase Extended. Is that what it was called? I can't remember what the other one was called. But the second one, the announcement, they'll go for a bit longer. But yeah, I think save stuff for that. Save it for a tweet or a news story like this. If it's something huge, yeah, but we don't really need to hear about game demos, albeit we think they're really good. We don't need a bloke talking about it on a stage for 5 minutes. So, I'm with you there. Right, Carl, let's get into our topic. We're going to preview a couple showcases here. We're going to do this reverse order because Capcom does come after Xbox, but we think this one will be quicker. Capcom is on the 13th at 11 o'clock British time, British summer time. So we'll do this quite quickly, seeing as a lot of it's been announced anyway. But we discussed Street Fighter and the Resident Evils on the PlayStation, Moncala. Anything to add on there?
Yeah, so obviously, as you said, we talked about Street Fighter 6, Resident Evil 4 Remake, and Resident Evil Village VR last week. The only other confirmed Resident Evil title from Capcom at the moment is Resident Evil Reverse, which is obviously that multiplayer game that was initially supposed to launch alongside Village. You'd assume with that imminently launching that that'll probably have some presence at this showcase. And the only other two confirmed Capcom games outside that are Pragmata, which, if you remember, was that game that was revealed with a very strange trailer at the PS5 launch way back when.
Oh,
and we haven't heard anything about it since. But it is, at the time, it was due out in 2023. Obviously, a lot of games have slipped from that timeline, so potentially Pragmata is among them. So it could well be a 2024 game, and maybe we won't hear about it at all, but nonetheless, it's potential, and I am intrigued to see kind of what it is, because I have no idea. And the other kind of confirmed game, obviously, was Exo Primal. If you remember that was the game with the dinosaurs.
Yes. And I'm looking at it right now, and I'm interested.
Yeah, it's an interesting concept. I mean, people like mechs, people like dinosaurs. Why not combine the two?
Exactly. Transformers v dinosaurs. Why not?
So I am expecting that Exo Primal will make another appearance, given that it's, you know, it was only revealed not so long ago, and it was revealed for 2023. So you'd assume that's potentially still on track. So if that's the case, I'd say we'd see something more from it. But I think, given, you know, that we, you know, Capcom somewhat blew their load in at the PlayStation event last week, so we know about a lot of what's coming. We've already talked about it, as you said. But what is more intriguing is what else could be at this Capcom event. And, you know, we do have some guesses, because there was that infamous Capcom hack in November 2020. Resident Evil 4 Remake and Street Fighter 6 were both part of that hack, although they did come out later than the hack initially suggested they would, which would go along with the trend of games getting delayed because of COVID and the like. But there are a few games that were due either out. Some of them are technically supposed to have already come out. Others are due out in the months to come. The first one of those is Resident Evil Outrage, which was, according to the hack, was supposed to come out in quarter 4, 2021. More information came out on that afterwards. Reportedly, it's a Switch exclusive, where the Resident Evil character Rebecca Chambers is the lead character, and it would have kind of something more in common with the Resident Evil series that initially launched on the Vita, Revelations, I believe it was. It seems it'll kind of have that vibe. But surprisingly, you know, it's been about, you know, 6 months, let's say, since its release window, and we still haven't heard anything. So you'd think, unless this project has been cancelled or something, you'd think it's likely we will hear about it sooner rather than later.
Yeah, you'd think so. You'd think so. I mean, that leak obviously has come to fruition so far. So, yeah, you'd think this would be the platform. And the only thing is, I've closed the window now, stupidly, on my tabs. But I think it says it's only 30 to 35 minutes long, this, so it will be interesting to see what actually gets picked from it, but I suppose this next one's probably the big one people will want, is Dragon's Dogma 2, because people have been wanting this for a long while.
Yeah, I'm one of those people. I absolutely adored the first game. It's a quality game. I also watched the anime that came out on Netflix. It, you know, it wasn't the best anime, but it was solid. And I've been hungry for a Dragon's Dogma 2. And I think this is one you can bank on, because Capcom did launch a Dragon's Dogma anniversary site. I mean, you don't really celebrate the anniversary of the game unless you have plans for it. So I think between the leak, between that site, I think we can bank on a Dragon's Dogma 2 announcement at this showcase. And I think, you know, if other than that, if they just spend their time talking about Street Fighter 6 and Resident Evil 4 Remake and the other games we know about, I think this would be the one announcement that I would put my money on, personally. Now the leak initially had it for Q2 financial year 22, which would mean it should already be out. So clearly it's not. But if we go on the delays to both Street Fighter 6 and Resident Evil 4 Remake, it appears that they have slipped, say, between 3 and 6 months. So maybe if we apply a similar delay to Dragon's Dogma, perhaps we'll see it in the fall or the holiday period.
There's certainly a gap for it as well, because March, it's not exactly like it's a February game as well. I know it's only a month in between, but if it slips there, you could probably do with a quiet winter period. Whereas, no, there's a Capcom gap there now, isn't there? So if this comes out October, November time, yeah.
I think it's a quieter kind of fall period than it usually is this year because other games have slipped out. So I think there's a good opportunity to get in there. And I'm not aware of any other big RPGs thus far that are coming out there. Obviously, Starfield was delayed. I think it is a good opportunity. I suppose the PS5 version of The Witcher is supposed to be coming out then. And obviously, that'll be somewhat similar games. So there might be some comparisons there. But that's a re-release, you know,
a CD Projekt Red, so that's getting delayed.
Potentially. I'm expecting this announcement, and I'm very excited for it in terms of my own personal preferences. Other games that were kind of due in the near future from the hack were Rockman, which obviously is the Japanese name for Mega Man. And that was due out in Q3 financial year 22. So that would be later this year. If we assume it's been delayed, if it's still coming at all, it'll come sometime next year.
Yeah.
So it could be another one we see here. Obviously people have been dying for a new Mega Man game. There hasn't been one since Mega Man 11, which was a while ago. It was okay. I'm sure people will be hungry for another one. Monster Hunter 6, which was supposed to come out next summer, but again, that could have slipped. Monster Hunter's massive. You know, we know that. I think we both dabbled with Monster Hunter World.
Yeah, we did.
It was a good game.
I'd play another one.
I wonder if this is going to be a follow-up to Monster Hunter World. It'd make a lot of sense to get one that's multi-plat rather than just on the Switch and PC, as is the case with the most recent Monster Hunter game. And the other two games, because I don't think there's a point going too in detail with games that were due for financial year 24, because, you know, chances are they're delayed for financial year 2025 now. But the other two in 23 were Super Street Fighter 6, which was Q4 financial year 23. No chance you're getting that now, because they're not going to release Street Fighter 6 in 2023 and then Super Street Fighter 6 in the same year. So you can guarantee that slipped at least 6 months, probably more. And the last game then is Biohazard Apocalypse, which is rumored to be Resident Evil 9. Again, I'd say that's been delayed, but that would make sense because they've had a trend of releasing, you know, virtually releasing a Resident Evil game every year
Yeah.
So if four remake is coming next spring, you know, your bets would be that Resident Evil 9 or March Resident Evil Apocalypse, as it's rumored to be, will be March 2024. And that's nice timing. I mean, they've kind of made that kind of March, April, May window their own. They've been, for the most part, like one of the kind of game of the year contenders each year with their new releases. And, you know, that window has worked for them. So why not stick at it? And, you know, it makes no sense to deviate from that. So, I mean, it's a no brainer that they'd be working on another Resident Evil game, given the recent popularity of the series. And as we said, any other games on the list, Final Fight Remake, Power Stone Remake, Ultra Street Fighter 6, and Resident Evil Hunk, which, you know, based on, you know, kind of people's knowledge of Resident Evil, is most likely some kind of spin-off game. They're probably so far flung in the future that we're not likely to see them anytime soon, which is a shame, because I personally think a Final Fight remake and a Power Stone remake are very exciting. I mean, really, in terms of the event, my expectations are more Street Fighter 6, more Resident Evil 4 remake, probably some Resident Evil Reverse as they look to launch that game, and then probably an announcement for Dragon's Dogma 2. And potentially, if, you know, I think it's going to be short, I don't think there'll be that much in it. If there is to be one more thing, I'd guess it'd be Resident Evil Outrage, because given that game was initially supposed to launch at the end of last year, there seems to be a lot more info out there about it than some of these other leaked projects. You'd assume it was far along at a point, and, you know, unless, as we said, worst case, it's been cancelled, you're going to hear about it at some point. So that would be kind of my dark horse for conclusion. But I'd have my doubts that we'll hear about anything. There might be some Monster Hunter DLC or that kind of thing, I'm sure, given the popularity. But, you know, we don't really kind of consider that an announcement. You know, it's just kind of, it's filler is what I see it as. I don't see much else. I mean, you know, what do you have any expectations for this and what exactly it'll be?
I think it'll be quite a quick short one, to be honest. So I think it's a half an hour runtime. I want to see Dragon's Dogma. I'm not overly familiar with the first one, but having looked at pictures there whilst we were discussing it, it looks like it could be something that I'd play and buy. So yeah, that's probably my main thing for that. I like the odd Resident Evil thing, but I liked it when it was more action-y than horror-y, as I mentioned on the last week's show. So yeah, Dragon's Dogma is probably the thing I'd be keeping an eye on for me. But outside of that, yeah, Pragmata, just to see what it actually is. and that Dino mech game, just because it'll be mental. Exo Primal, why not? I reckon that will be one of them games where it's crap, but it'll be fun. That's just kind of how I feel with that one. But I still want to see it. But yeah, it should be a nice quick event. I mean, there's plenty of stuff there to look. Even the stuff we've already seen, there's at least two other games. We can look in a bit deeper, and then whatever surprises we get from that list, it should be a nice quick event. Nice fun event as well, I should say. But we will now move on to the Xbox showcase. And what we'll do is we'll go through Xbox studios, then we'll go through Bethesda and second party, and have a little looky at what they are working on, and if we think anything will be there, or maybe it'll be a bit too far out, etc. You know the crack. You probably listen to other stuff doing similar. Right, Carl. Let's get the boring one out the way. 343. Anything?
So obviously, you know, we know obviously they're working on Halo Infinite. There's reports the other day that the beta for the co-op campaign is coming out next month. I mean, wowzers, you know, it's taken them this long to get it. And of course, there's the next big update, which is rumored to bring Forge as well. But I don't think if 343, if all they have to talk about is Infinite, I don't think they'll be there, because I don't think people want, like, it's already embarrassing enough. You get up on a stage and be like, here's a trailer for co-op campaign or for Forge mode or something. You know, people are just going to roll their eyes. I just roll my eyes. Yeah. So, you know, I don't think Microsoft, I think they'll read the room, and I don't think they want to embarrass it. So the only way I see 343 Industries there is if they have something new to talk about. And kind of serial Xbox leaker Jez Corden did confirm in recent weeks that 343 Industries are working on another project as well. And it's most likely another Halo project. Now, if they have that to talk about, then maybe they'll be there.
Hmm.
But in what I'd say is, and I don't know if you share this view, but I think if it's a sole 343 project and they get up and announce that, I just think they're going to get a really negative backlash, because people are going to be the obvious thing they're going to say is, why don't you finish the game you're working on first? Yeah. The only thing I see is if potentially is, you know, obviously the way Microsoft work, 343 are like the gatekeepers of Halo. The Coalition are the gatekeepers of Gears. Obviously, Rare are the gatekeepers of a lot of their old IP. So when you have a smaller studio, like a second party, project, like for example, when Battletoads came out recently and Rare kind of oversaw the project, or obviously when the Gears of War Tactics and then the Coalition oversaw it. So unless it's that kind of project, you know, maybe like another Halo Wars or something like that, and another studio are taking the lead and 343 are simply supervising, if that's the case, then it makes sense to announce it. But if it's an actual 343 project, you keep that quiet for as long as possible, and you focus, you don't show up at this event, and you just focus on getting co-op campaign and Forge done. And then maybe when you've done that, you'll be able to show your face and not hang it in shame. That's my view. I mean, what's your take on 343?
Yeah, I think if they come up, story DLC, maybe. But I feel like it'd be stuff like that, I think they'll go on for too long and people will be like, not asked. Because if it's story DLC, then the question will be like, when's co-op coming out? When's Forge coming out? Rightfully so, by the way, because 343 butchered this. The only reason I could see them being there is if the rumoured Battle Royale's ready, but I don't think that's ready at all going on. I listened to that Jez Corden the other day. He was talking about it. It's probably a couple of seasons away in terms of the in-game seasons for Halo. But a Halo Battle Royale, that could probably have its own focus release thing, whereas in here it might get lost. Maybe not marketing the right people as well, because I think people watching this will be, you'll be wanting to see Avowed and stuff like that rather than a Halo Battle Royale. But yeah, if it's there, it wouldn't surprise me. But I'm with you. I think 343 should skip this one and lay low. Let someone else take the heat for once. But yeah, it's not been pretty for Halo developers. The Coalition, Carl, this one's probably more interesting because there's a bit more rumours about it.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Gears of War, Marcus Fenix collection has been rumoured for a while. I think initially it was just kind of known as the Gears of War trilogy collection, but now it seems to have an actual title. But some people seem to doubt this one. You know, some industry insiders kind of seem to suggest they haven't heard anything, and that it seems more just it's an obvious rumor that's gained ground. But you know, for me, I just think there's been too much smoke for there to not be fire. And as a lot of people have pointed out, I think Gears of War 2 and 3 aren't available on PC. So this would be a chance to finally get them on PC. And I just think it's probably an easy project for the Coalition to kind of get out the door, and the Xbox desperately need games at the moment. Especially with things being delayed, which I'm sure we'll come on to. So I think this happens, and I think it's at the showcase. I mean, well, what do you think?
Yeah, I think it wouldn't surprise me if it's here. I think it is due because Gears 1 to 3, it's been long enough, I think. And although they were really good looking at the time, if you always on TikTok, I see spoilers. I always see, oh my god, his name's gone blank. Who dies in 3?
Dom,
that's it. Yeah, so I always see that on TikTok, and it's like, saddest moments in gaming, and it does look a bit aged now. So I think it is easy to do a 4K remaster or whatever. And it's just easy. Hopefully it goes better than the Master Chief Collection. I always love throwing shade at 343. But yeah, I think it is. It's just an easy release. If it has been worked on for a little while. I mean, the initial rumour was it was one of Xboxes. I was always hoping it would be a Fable one, but yeah, I think the Marcus Phoenix Collection just makes more sense, doesn't it? But yeah, if this is here, I won't be surprised, because it's just if it was almost ready, maybe you can put back Gear 6, which is probably a couple of years away anyway, and just say, try and rush this out, and we'll fill somewhat of a gap. So yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if this is here.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's certainly worth... the potential of a Fable Collection is certainly worth discussing. I'm sure we'll come to that when we come to that studio. The next studio is Compulsion Games. Thanks to none other than Jess Corden again, we have an idea what they are working on. It's a Codename Midnight, a single player dark fantasy world inspired by America's Deep South. I mean, does this one appeal to you at all? And do you think that we'll see it at the event?
I think we're due. Yeah, I think Compulsion's one of the ones we haven't seen from since the purchase. We've obviously seen State of Decay 3. But we've seen everyone else, I think, under the Xbox Game Studios umbrella, actually. In Exile, I don't think we've seen it, actually, have we, since Wasteland 3. So it's probably them two out of the first bunch of lads that got bought. I don't know why I said lads there, but first bunch of developers that got bought. So yeah, I think this one is due. I think this one will be here. I'm not sure how close it'll be to release, because if it was, you probably would have seen a CGI trailer last year. When everything was 2 years ago, maybe 2 years ago, when everything was CGI trailers. But I think this one might, because I think apparently this one will be focused gameplay. I think this one might be a quick CGI trailer. Maybe we'll see more at another event another time.
Yeah, I have heard that suggestion that they're going to be focused on you know, games that are close and shown gameplay for those, but there might be one or two where they have no choice other than to go with CGI, and this may well be one of them. I mean, I'm intrigued by this one because I really enjoyed We Happy Few. It was a buggy mess, but my God, was it a great concept. And I never played the DLC, but I finished the main game. And I enjoyed that game, so I'm really intrigued to see what comes next from. And I'd agree with you. As I said, I do expect we'll see this one. This is one of them that I would personally bank on. Next up, Double Fine. We know nothing.
Too soon, probably.
Yeah, I mean, Tim Schafer, there was rumours that Double Fine were working on a Banjo-Kazooie remake, and Tim Schafer... He seemed almost offended by the suggestion. And he said, you know, if you want a rare game, you know, play a rare game. You know, we're here to make Double Fine games, paraphrasing. Yeah. And he said that their new game will be a new and original product. And that's literally all we know. And I think Double Fine used to kind of, make smaller games, and therefore they could have a few games in the pipe at the one time. But I think now that they've moved to Microsoft, I think it's probably evolved. They've got the financial backing. I think they're probably their next thing is going to be something new and big and focused. And I don't think we see it at this event. Like, I think Double Fine give this a miss.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. The initiative is even worth talking about.
No, I mean, the initiative are in a mess. I mean, they've lost so much staff. Crystal Dynamics have had to come in to help them. Like this game isn't in any sense close. And I you know, similar to we talked about how it would be embarrassing for 343 to come out and talk about more about Halo Infinite, I feel the same about the initiative and Perfect Dark, because they're not going to have anything of substance to show. And it's just.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
It's been completely bad press. So I think, much like Double Fine and potentially 343, I think they're missing from this show.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. In Exile, this one, again, more interesting because we've not seen anything from them since Wasteland 3. We do have little notes about what their next game will be. It's apparently reported to be a horror-based first-person shoot with RPG elements. Obviously, from In Exile, we've seen the Wasteland series, which is a top-down strategy-type RPG thing. This sounds interesting, but I don't know what to expect.
Yeah, I mean, In Exile, like the developers there, like they're kind of veterans of the industry, and you know, particularly when it comes to RPGs, and you know, their most recent game, of course, was Wasteland 3. The game has a great reputation. You know, it's kind of like a cult classic. You know, I say cult classic because obviously it doesn't have this. Like kind of mass appeal, but the people who play it love it. And I mean, they're kind of like, you know, they're in a way kind of overshone by their bigger brothers nowadays under the Microsoft window of Obsidian and Bethesda, mm-hmm. you know, in terms of that RPG sense, but that's not to count them out. And you know, they're dark horses, really. And it's, you know, it's exciting now to see what they're first. But, you know, I talked about, obviously, Double Fine will probably be working on something big now with that Microsoft money. And, you know, it's the same thing for Exile. This is going to be their first completely backed Microsoft project. And it is exciting. And then obviously the concept we've heard, which I think again was another Jez Gordon leak. Rather was, you know, a horror based FPS with RPG elements. That, you know, straight away, I'm just thinking like Bioshock, and because that's what Bioshock was. And, you know, Bioshock is one of the best games ever. So, you know, I'm not saying it's going to be as good as Bioshock, but it's exciting to see what they do. And, you know, by all accounts of the reports of people who say they've seen kind of early images and stuff for the game, it sounds really intriguing. And I think we'll see this because I think it's been enough time since Wasteland 3. And also, you know, only recently, their studio head was very vocal on Twitter, kind of defending criticism of Game Pass and stuff. And I don't think you're going to be that vocal unless, you know, you're ready to go with a new product. I think if you're early in a product, you're more likely to be quiet. And that's just my personal view. So there's some studios we've dismissed and said we won't see, but In Exile will be one I'd be pretty confident we will see.
Do you reckon it'll be gameplay or just CGI or this one?
Difficult to say. I'm gonna be hopeful and say a gameplay. Yeah, I'm gonna put my money down and say we'll see some gameplay for this one.
Hopefully, I mean there's a 90-minute show apparently, so why not? So yeah, I'd hope for gameplay as well. Now one that's probably not our favourite thing, but it is the biggest developer here in terms of money. It is Mojang, obviously Minecraft stuff, but there is reportedly two games in development from them. Minecraft Dungeons, I played it, was quite fun. Minecraft Cells, they'll probably be there in some capacity.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like my base Minecraft. You know, I tried a friend of mine, my friend was here recently for my housewarming, and he was actually talking about it and saying how he tried to get me and our other friend who was here into Minecraft, but we just completely dissed him on it, just wouldn't play it. It's just too much for me. It's similar to how I don't like the building in Fortnite. You know, I like Lego, but I don't like Lego in my video games. And that's what this is to me. I just could not get into it at all. But I heard good things about Minecraft Dungeons, and I've kind of been eyeing it for a while as potentially something to pick up. I'd kind of play with my fiance because she's kind of getting back into games. You know, she doesn't play them. She's actually upstairs playing The Sims 4 on the PS5 as we speak. Yeah. But like we've been kind of dabbling in some co-op games. Obviously, I talked about last week how we're playing It Takes Two. We played some beat 'em ups. We picked up Lego Harry Potter because she's a big Harry Potter fan, and I'm a big Diablo fan. So this kind of Diablo light in the form of my Minecraft Dungeons, I think that'll be a potential one for us. So, you know, I am intrigued by it. So, you know, at one point I would have thought, you know, Minecraft's always just going to be Minecraft, but then when Dungeons came out and was successful, and of course before you had like the Minecraft story mode, like the Telltale game, you know, Minecraft has proven that it can be, you know, something other than the base game and be a success. So I'm intrigued to know what these games are. You know, and I'd hope there'll be something a bit more inventive than just like a Minecraft kart racing game and a Minecraft party fighter. Looking at you, Nickelodeon. But yeah, I'm not, you know, chances are they're not going to be for me, but nonetheless, I'll be watching for whenever we do see these Minecraft games announced. That's not to say that we'll see one of them, especially not both of them at the showcase. But, you know, I will be keeping an eye on these and see if they are something interesting like Minecraft Dungeons was.
They'll be in Game Pass. I play Dungeons, as I said at the start. It'll be fun. As long as it's something in my wheelhouse, I'll play it. Next up, we have Ninja Theory, which is an interesting one, because we saw a lot of it at the Game Awards. And that kind of makes me doubt whether we'll see it here unless we get a release date. But everything we've seen of Senua's Saga, Hellblade 2, has been at the Game Awards. It was the initial it was the initial game we saw with the console. We saw the gameplay demo at the Game Awards as well. So unless we're getting a release date and it's somehow this year, which very very much doubtful, I think they may save this till December.
There has been rumors that it, you know, obviously it's there were setbacks on one in the development. So, you know, unfortunately, I'd probably lean that way with you as well. Unless, surprisingly, kind of they've gotten things on track and they're ready to give us a release date, I don't think they're going to show this one again anytime soon. Which is unfortunate because, you know, we were both fans of Hellblade's newest sacrifice, and I'm really intrigued to see what they do on a larger scale with more money and more time. Because while the game, you know, visually it was impressive, and the sound design is potentially the best sound design I've ever seen in a video game, the combat was basic, you know, and the gameplay in general was pretty basic. You know, it was match up symbols and then just have a simple hack and slash fight, you know, with these generic enemies. Like, it wasn't the best gameplay. You know, but I'm sure they'll evolve all that with the sequel. So I'm really excited to see this one. But I mean, at the end of the day, we don't need to see a game until it's ready. So if they need more time, they need more time. But I am really intrigued by, you know, and I'm not sure we've ever talked about it before, their other confirmed project, codenamed Project Mara, which is said to be a recreating of the terror of mental health issues. I mean, we talked about a moment ago that sound design in Hellblade. So when I think about that sound design and I think about recreating the terror of mental health issues, I'm not even sure I could comfortably play this game. You know, I'm afraid to play this game.
Well, if they're literally, it'd probably be oversimplified it. But if they just turn up like the voices in Senua's head from the first game up to 11, and that's basis of the game, it'll be a horrifying experience. So yeah, it might be one of the most off-putting games, but intriguing games at the same time.
Yeah, kind of like when you hear about a really gory movie and you know it's going to make you uncomfortable, but just the pure intrigue makes you watch it. I mean, do you think, given that, you know, we're obviously pessimistic on Hellblade 2 being shown, but, you know, we don't know the exact setup on Ninja Theory. They could have two different teams working on the two different products. So if that's the case, do you think there's potential that while we might not see Hellblade 2, that we could see Project Mara and maybe get a sneak peek at that and potentially get a full-time title for the game, so to speak?
Yeah, I think we could get a quick CGI thing. Or maybe like a little, I suppose, in-engine little looky at what it actually is and the name, as you say. But yeah, I don't think it'll be too... I think that's more likely than Hellblade 2. I'd probably say that.
Yeah, I'd agree, given what we know about Hellblade 2.
Yeah. Moving on then to... Let's call it Xbox's go-to, guys, you'd probably say. At the main, it is Obsidian. This one, probably the one that'll have the biggest presence there, you'd say. Let's do the quick one. Grounded, it'll be there. I think the 1.0 release is soon, or meant to be released soon. So that'll be there. We'll see all the new stuff for that. That'll probably be a quick sizzle reel. But we know what Grounded is. It's a fun game. Avowed, obviously shown in the big CGI show from a couple of years ago. I can't remember. Time flies, or a couple of years ago. This one screams big gameplay demo to me.
Yeah. I mean, Obsidian are an interesting studio. Like, they tend, from what I gather, they're divided. They have like kind of one larger team and then some smaller teams of varying sizes. But I think that one larger team is focused on Avowed.
Yeah.
And I think that's the one they've been focused on all along. And, you know, bizarrely, I think when The Outer Worlds 2 was announced, it was later reported that that was a mistake and they were meant to show something relating to Avowed, and somehow The Outer Worlds 2 footage got fed in instead, so they just rolled with it. But I think the focus has been on Avowed all along. I think the Outer Worlds 2 is likely a ways off, and you know, spoilers, I don't think we'll see that.
Yeah.
But I do think we'll certainly see Avowed, and I think we'll see something meaty, And I'd even go as far as saying I think we'll get a release date for Avet. I think Matty Schroeder of kind of a popular YouTuber, I may have butchered his surname there, Mr. Matty Plays,
he's
also on
Defining Duke,
yeah, that he kind of suggested he could see it being given a 2022 release date.
I don't think so. No.
But I could see it be given like a fall 23 window. That's my expectation. And I'm really excited for this one. I mean, I'm a big Obsidian fan, and I just love to see what they do in a fantasy setting.
Yeah.
And I know there's inevitably going to be comparisons to Elder Scrolls 6 when that comes out, but that's probably a long way away.
That's 5 years
away. Probably. Yeah. So, yeah, no, I'm very confident about it. It may well be the game I'm most excited about here, but I'm confident we'll see it, and I'm confident that we'll get a release window.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I think this will probably be the, especially from the Xbox, the game studio side, I think this will be the centerpiece from this set. It, big gameplay demo, and then not a date, a window, because putting dates on stuff leads to trouble. even if you just say coming next year or some point, that'd probably do me. I agree with you, Outer Worlds 2, no chance. Fallout Project, I've heard similar stuff, I've seen the same rumours that, well, it just logically makes sense, because Fallout 5 won't be in this gen on Bethesda's current cycle. So if they want to do a side project, Obsidian's the obvious choice here, unless In Exile wants to get back in the swing of things. But Fallout Vegas, New Vegas 2, whatever, wherever the setting is, but this kind of makes sense, and it'll be a lot of fanfare, even if it is just an Outer Worlds 2 comedy logo section.
Yeah, I mean, this project makes a lot of sense. I'd agree with you there. Obviously, Bethesda are focused on Starfield, and then once they've moved on from that, it's going to be, you know, all hands on deck for Elder Scrolls 6. So, you know, if we were waiting on Bethesda to make a Fallout 5 or, you know, whatever you want to call it, we're going to be waiting a long time. You know, you and I probably have children in college by that point. So it makes sense to pass it off to another studio. Although some people may argue, well, you know, Obsidian have 7 million projects in the pipeline. But they seem to have a good setup for handling multiple projects. So, you know, I'm not surprised. I think it was Jeff Grubb that reported that there has been talks held, you know, with Bethesda and Microsoft and Obsidian about this, but that it's early doors. And given that it's early doors, I don't think we see that at this. You know, I think Jeff Grubb has tried to kind of make that clear that it is early. So I don't think we see it yet, but in a way it is a shame because, you know, as a lot of people would probably suggest, New Vegas is potentially the best of the modern Fallout games. You know, now there's no surprise given Obsidian have a kind of a lineage with the series. But at the same time, it's not so disappointing because, you know, as we said, Avowed is coming and I'm really intrigued to see what they do in that setting. So, you know, I don't want, and I know we're going to come on to one last game, which likely is going to be a new announcement from Obsidian. But in general, I don't want them announcing any more projects. I know Outer Worlds 2, as I said, was supposedly a mistake. They didn't mean to announce it, but they did. So that's another project that's out there in ether. Like, I'd rather them just focus on getting the games out. Microsoft have made that mistake too much lately where they're announcing games that are too far off. And it's just frustrating for fans then when they're getting delayed and all sorts. Just, you know, tell us when they're close to ready. And I know that is supposedly the focus for this showcase, gameplay, games that are imminent, etc. Cool, stick to that. So I personally don't want to see, I know a lot of Fallout fans would disagree with me, but I don't want to see this project announced yet. Just not quite yet.
If they confirm its existence, I'd understand. But yeah, I think at least be in the region of a CGI trailer. But if it is Obsidian, we know. I mean, I suppose the Outer Worlds 2 is that early. You could flip them around or something. I don't think anyone would forgive Obsidian if they focused on a Fallout title over the Outer Worlds 2. But yeah, it's very much too early. And if the Outer Worlds 2 was a mistake, yeah, they probably won't want to do that again unless they found it funny and just want to keep doing that. But anywho,
I mean, it would be enough if they, like, you know, maybe someone from id or someone from Bethesda, like Todd Howard or something, came out and spoke to Phil Spencer and they kind of said, you know, we're looking at ways in which our teams can collaborate on each other's IPs and stuff like that. Because that would be kind of the wink, wink, you know, Obsidian are doing Fallout and what else could be happening kind of thing. That's enough. I don't think we need specific titles as yet, you know, when they're likely to be a few years off. But that's just my personal take.
Yeah. No, yeah, I agree. Last one from Obsidian, then. This was one that we put in at last second, because I listened to another show previewed it, and they brought up Pentiment. Josh Sawyers, I can't speak, investigative RPG project. It sounds interesting. Obviously, it seems like a bit of a slightly smaller project, but it seems close. I'm sure, I think Josh Sawyers has been on active on Twitter, but it sounds interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I like the way, as I said, Obsidian have these smaller teams and they can work on kind of multiple products, and they have some smaller products on the go. I think Grounded kind of started out that way, and now they've kind of backed it and put a bit more staff into it because of how popular it's been. And like we dabbled with Grounded before, it's a fun time. So I am intrigued by these smaller projects, and you know, obviously Josh Sawyer is an important person at Obsidian, so I'm intrigued to see kind of what he has here, and it does seem like he's hinting that this is going to be unveiled, so I guess we're going to be adding this to another one of the confirmed projects at Obsidian, so I'm intrigued to see what it is. I mean, I like when games use RPG elements well, but you know, aren't necessarily a standard RPG. And we're talking earlier, obviously, about In Exile's FPS with RPG elements. And then this obviously is an investigative game with RPG elements. So I'm certainly intrigued to see what it's all about.
Yeah, it should be interesting. I mean, probably another one confirmed gameplay. If it is close, release date, release window, whatever. But yeah, that one probably out of all these would be this year, you'd think, to fill somewhat of a gap. But yeah, that'll be interesting to see what it is. Playground Games, Carl, and Fable, obviously, maybe Horizon, Forza Horizon DLC stuff, but arsed. But Fable, the development's apparently not going too well, according to Insiders and stuff like that, and maybe downscaled a bit. Again, this was CGI trailer a few years ago, yada, yada, yada. With that report, unless it was a basically pulling a fast one, I can't see it being there unless it's in-game engine stuff rather than just full CGI. But I'd probably rather just wait for it to be somewhat ready.
Yeah, I mean, that news was really kind of a kick in the teeth. I mean, like, we talked about it way back when this game was unveiled, and we were really excited because, you know, Playground Games, they were a great studio. I mean, they knock it out of the park, you know, every couple of years with new Forza Horizon. I know a racing game isn't an RPG, but it is an open world game. You know, they know how to make kind of, you know, inviting open worlds. And they had brought in kind of specialists that are focused on RPGs. So I was personally excited for this one. And like, after announcement, they seemed to just go quiet, and, you know, it just seemed like a dream. And then just suddenly we had this news drop that supposedly they're finding it hard and they've had to scale back on their ambitions. And then it just kind of felt like deja vu, because You know, I still remember reading magazine articles about the original Fable and all the stuff that Peter Molyneux told us we were going to be able to do. And then suddenly they're like, oh shit, we can't do this. And then
maybe he was the specialist.
Yeah. It went from being an open world RPG to being kind of a level based, kind of linear RPG. And even by the time we got to Fable 3, it wasn't truly open world. So we thought this was going to be the first true open world Fable. And although I'm sure it still is going to be open world, it's not going to be quite the epic we thought it was going to be. I mean, I hope they just take their time with this one, maybe draft in people from other Xbox game studios to help with it. You know, they've done that. Like the Coalition obviously helped with 343 with Halo Infinite and other things. So, you know, if you could get some people from InXile, from Obsidian, from Bethesda to come and help Turn 10, you know, people who the OGs with open world RPGs, you know, and just take your time and just get Fable right. That's what I want to see. Like, you know, I'm bummed that it's not as far along as we hoped it would be. And but I just hope that they pull it back. And, you know, if they need to take more time to do that, then by all means do it. But one thing I'm intrigued by, you mentioned earlier when we were talking about the Gears of War trilogy, that at one point there was a rumor that it could be a Fable collection. And that is intriguing to me, because could that be kind of, could, especially with the difficulties they ran into, you know, let me just play hypotheticals here. Could there be a situation where maybe Playground Games are like, all right, you know, maybe we're not as used to doing RPGs as we thought, you know, maybe we don't have the experience yet, you know, and could the idea, maybe let's go and make a kind of a remake of the original Fable, or kind of a remastered trilogy of the original three games, whatever the case might be, and kind of break their duck, kind of, you know, like, can I get started, let's say, on the RPGs. Yeah. Yeah. And it seems to be a strategy that Embracer Group take with a lot of their older IPs. They give the IP to a studio. They say, go and remake this old PS2 game. And then they say, all right, you did a good job there. Now make a sequel. You know, that seems to be what's happening with, for example, Destroy All Humans. Could we maybe see Playground Games do something similar and come out with a Fable remake before they go back to this new Fable project?
God, I wish. I love Fable. Even 2 and 3, which aren't highly as thought of, but I love them free. I love them free games. My mate owes me money on Fable 3, so that'd be a way to get it back. I think that's unlikely. But if Fable's... If Xbox have said Fable, it's kind of fucked. It's going to be 2024 at the earliest, 2025 more likely, if it has been downsized and stuff like that. Plus, everything from 2022s are now in 2023, and some of that will get pushed back into 2024. It's probably less of a rush now for Fable. So maybe, just to get some, maybe not this year, but if they want to test Playground Games, and even if it's just one, rather than all three of them, because one is the main one, let's be fair. Yeah, I could see it, but at the same time, I think people would be like, where the fuck's the new game? But I think I'm more wishing that into reality than it probably being reality. But if that was there, I'd probably be my most hyped thing there. But yeah, I think that's unlikely, albeit I'd love it to be true.
Yeah, no, I think it's just me kind of wishful thing on my part. It'd probably be too late in the day for them to deviate it from the main project, especially when obviously they have Forza Horizons to be working on as well, albeit another team. But it is something for not just Microsoft to consider, but all publishers with kind of older IP that they're looking to revive, that maybe doing a remake isn't the worst idea. You know, maybe these
Look
Embracer
at you,
lads
Bethesda
are
game
onto
works.
Something.
Give me Morrowind and give me Oblivion.
Yeah, I mean, that wouldn't be the worst. Moving on, though, speaking of a studio known for their old IPs, we have Rare. Sea of Thieves, obviously, is their ongoing title. That's still popular. I'm sure there'll be some kind of DLC for that. So, although I'm not sure that's something that demands a showcase presence. Everwild, yet another example of a disaster from a Microsoft studio. A game that was announced to early. And then, reset, because apparently they found they couldn't quite do what they wanted to do. Another one, I'd say much like Fable, that they probably just need to kind of keep quiet on and work on something quietly. So really, for me, I don't know what your take is, but for me, similar to what I said about 343, the only way I kind of expect slash want to see 343, obviously, is if they're overseeing a Halo project by another studio. So similarly, I would only want to see Rare if they're overseeing a project on one of their existing IPs by a smaller studio. And one such project that I say rumored, but you could effectively say it's confirmed, given that the achievements popped up on Xbox's website the other day, is a remaster of GoldenEye. So surely this is a banker, guy.
You'd think so. I think the achievements leaked in there and stuff like that. So you'd think so. It'll be interesting to see if it is Rare. I have the James Bond license now, don't they?
They've been permitted to make a James Bond game.
Yeah. Maybe we have a section. A James Bond section. But yeah, if Rare are making it or someone else is making it, it should be there going off what we've seen with the achievements and stuff being leaked there. And that'll just literally fill everyone with nostalgia and happiness, I think.
Certainly.
It'd probably be disappointing, let's be honest, but it'll be fun whilst it lasted.
Yeah, I mean, there is a... I don't know if I can call it a rumour or if it's just collective invention that people are just trying to will it into existence, but there has been talk of a Banjo-Kazooie remake to mark the anniversary. Could we potentially see that or some other kind of side project from a small studio, maybe being supervised by Rare, potentially announced at the showcase? Or do you think GoldenEye could potentially be it from that side of things?
I think Banjo's always one people want because it's been a very long time, hasn't it? Rare just seem to have too much on their plate for that. But I think everyone's earmarked Toys for Bob, haven't they, when the Activision thing goes through? So maybe they're waiting.
Yeah, there has been talk of that. Although I think at the moment they're focused on Crash, because I think there was rumours of a Crash multiplayer game being announced soon.
Yeah, something like a party brawler thing, wasn't it? But yeah, Banjo will exist at some point. I just doubt it'll be from Rare. Because Sea of Thieves is continuing an Everwild mess. So, yep, probably Banjo, but I imagine it'll be a little while away. So, yeah, probably not here in this one. Turn 10 Studios, Forza Motorsport reboot we saw a couple of years ago as well. We saw Gran Turismo out on the PlayStation side earlier this year, which seems to be a really big success. This will probably be here just to show off the power of the console and stuff like that, like every other racing game. It'll look pretty, but it's a racing game. It has a niche audience.
Yeah, I mean, Forza Motorsport, when it comes out, I'd safely say it's going to be a quality game. They always are. I mean, I even dabbled in them myself once upon a time, but I'm not a racer myself. I think this one will be there, and I think we'll probably get a release date. I mean, this is probably the one game that I'd be pretty confident on the Xbox side that we will get a release date for. So, yeah, no, for me, this is a banker, but I don't really have much to say on the game because I haven't played a Forza since Forza Motorsport 3, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Undead Lab State of Decay 3, if I try and speak at a human speed there. Again, this was CGI. I don't think this will be here.
No, it's another... I mean, it feels like every second studio we're talking about a blunder where they announced a game early and then ran into difficulty in development, and this is yet another one. So again, I'd imagine they're just quiet until the game is ready to go, and I don't think it's going to be ready to go in the next 6 months. So I'd imagine maybe this is something we might have to wait for maybe the Game Awards to see something further on.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, I don't think we have much to say here because, you know, what we have is a CGI trailer and rumors that they're struggling. So yeah, I think it'll be radio silence from Undead Labs for another event.
Yeah. Console port of Age of Empires, the only rumor from World's Edge. Not having that actually confirmed, but is that, that'll probably be a quick one, if anything, because we all know what Age of Empires is.
Yeah, I could see that. At one point, I was very intrigued about a console port. Now, less so, because I have a laptop that can run Age of Empires 4, so I don't need to play it on a console. Obviously, I'm going to prefer to play it with a mouse and keyboard. But nonetheless, I think it's a no-brainer to bring it across to consoles. It is going to sell, so I could see that one at the showcase.
Yeah. Moving on then to Bethesda / ZeniMax. Alpha Dog Mobile.
Yeah, we can't even begin to speculate what they're working on. You know, chances are it's probably a Bethesda IP, a mobile version, but which one, when, where, I don't know. I'm not sure.
Shelter.
It's the place for them anyway, is the showcase. Although Bethesda have been known to announce mobile games on stage in the past. We've seen it with Elder Scrolls Blades. And Fallout Shelter. And Fallout Shelter being announced really did gangbusters for that game. Like, it crazy. So, we can't rule out completely, but we couldn't begin to speculate on what it would be.
Absolutely. Arkane, Redfall obviously got delayed. This one will definitely be here. This one will be definitely, well, should be.
Do they dare give it a new date, though, Guy? That's the question.
No, God, no. Jesus, no. I mean, I suppose the debate is, do you think Redfall will come out first, or do you think... God, what's it called?
Starfield,
Jesus. Starfield will come out first.
I'm going to say Redfall.
Yeah. Yeah. The only thing is if Starfield and Avowed get on each other's toes, maybe they want a buffer game. But yeah, if Starfield's late spring and Avowed's winter, that's probably fine. But anyway, Redfall, we should see gameplay. We should see a release. I'm doing air quotes just so people can, so they know, window. But yeah, Redfall, we should see what this game exactly is by the end of the showcase.
Yeah, no, I'd be confident on that, for sure. I'd agree. I don't think they'll risk a date. I have mixed feelings on this one. I'm intrigued because I really like Arkane. You know, we know I've waxed lyrical many times on this podcast about how much I love Dishonored. But at the same time, I feel there's a little bit of fatigue on Left 4 Dead likes. You know, we've had a lot of them lately. I dabble with Back 4 Blood. It was fun. You know, I've been intrigued by Rainbow Six Quarantine.
Yeah.
But I don't know. There's been a lot of them, so it'll need to do something special to stand out. But yeah, no, I think this will be one of the big ones from the Bethesda side at the showcase. But could Arkane, would that be all we see from Arkane, or do you think we could potentially get the Deathloop release for Xbox? Although I suppose we have to consider that potentially the rumored that it was timed exclusive for 12 months, And that could mean that for 12 months, you're not allowed to mention it on another console, which would mean we're still in that 12-month window. So they might not even be allowed to talk about this one yet. And it might just be one that kind of gets a quick press release in September. Yo, Deathloop's coming to Game Pass on such and such a day. Maybe. But I mean, if we say there's no legal restrictions here, let's just say hypothetically there's no legal restrictions, they're allowed to talk about it. Could you see them making some kind of announcement?
Yeah, if legally they cannot, I don't see why not. Maybe DLC's been slightly rumoured as well, but whether PlayStation have exclusivity on that as well. But if there's no issues coming to Game Pass day one, September, whatever, yada, yada, yada. Yeah, I think that'll be a quick, literally picture frame and voiceover type stuff, because why would you show gameplay of a game that's been out for a year? But yeah, people have been looking forward to it. But yeah, if it's there, it's there. Bethesda Game Studio, I mean, same story for Starfield. We know what it is by writing, and we know that Bethesda Game Studios do big open RPGs, but we still want to see it, because Bethesda Game Studio, Fallout 76, crap, let's be fair. And Fallout 4, albeit it got loads of awards, I think still people a bit disappointed by it. So this has a lot of pressure on it for a studio that is known as one of the best in well, not even recent history, but in history of game development. So this is a pressure game, and the delay didn't help.
Yeah, I mean, the problem really for Bethesda has been, you know, the age of their engine. I mean, yeah. I think even by Skyrim, the engine was starting to show a little bit of age. You know, not to say Skyrim wasn't an amazing game, of course it was. But, you know, it was showing its age somewhat. You know, then obviously we had Fallout 4, which certainly showed its age. Again, I enjoyed the game. I platinumed it, but it was definitely a step down on Fallout 3 and Fallout New Vegas. It just didn't have the shine they had. And then 76, which I don't even know why Bethesda really put their name to it, because by all reports, they didn't actually develop that game. It's developed by a different studio. But nonetheless, they put their name on it and they paid for that because that game was an absolute mess. So, you know, I think they have to get Starfield right. There's a lot riding on it and, you know, it's been delayed. And you know, I always think delaying a game is the right decision. You need to get it out. You don't want it to come out like a mess. Sometimes games get delayed and do come out like a mess. I'm looking at you, Cyberpunk. But hopefully they don't come out of that kind of situation, because that would be an absolute disaster given what we've just spoken about. You know, I'm hopeful though. I'm hopeful they'll get it right on this one. I think, you know, Todd Howard's talked about how this is something he's wanted to do, you know, kind of like a space opera. So for that reason, I'm excited to see kind of what a passion project from Todd Howard looks like, because I think the last time we saw that was probably Fallout 3, because he was so excited to get to work on the Fallout series, and I loved that game. So, you know, I'm really hyped for this one, and I'm hopeful, and, you know, sir, I don't think they've given us reason to be hopeful, but I am nonetheless blindly hoping that this is a return to form for Bethesda, and this is another top-quality title.
Yeah. Almost naively hopeful as well. That's how I word it for myself. Elder Scrolls won't be there, let's be honest. That was way too renowned. But Starfield, maybe we get one of the classic Bethesda, was it like 10-minute game demos?
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, hopefully. Id Software, rumours of a Quake reboot. I think Doom drew a break. So yeah, Quake. There is QuakeCon though, which might be more fitting, but
true.
Could you see it there?
Yeah, I don't know. I think Doom, as you said, I think is in for break. I mean, by all accounts, I haven't got around to Eternal yet, but by all accounts, the DLC for Eternal wraps things up. Like, it doesn't look like there's any room for Doom 3. So I'd say any future Doom game will probably be not a complete reboot, but a soft reboot. So I think that could be a few years off. I do think their next product as a result has to either be something Quake related or a new IP. I'd probably prefer to see a new IP, but I know there's a lot of demand for Quake out there. The last kind of free-to-play game they were working on was a bit of a disaster. So I think, you know, people would love to see, a Quake game that has the kind of the same stylistic appeal of the Doom reboots, but also has that frantic multiplayer that Quake fans love. So I could certainly see this rumor being true, but as you say, QuakeCon makes a lot more sense. So if that's the case, you know, we might not yet see it, which is okay, because, you know, it's not been that long since Doom Eternal and its DLC. So, you know, as always, my attitude is, you know, reveal whatever you have when you're ready. So, I could see it giving this one a miss personally, and as you said, showing up at QuakeCon in the months to come.
Yeah, I think that's probably more fitting, to be fair. Machine Games. Now, this one's probably more interesting. We got the Indiana Jones teaser reveal type thing last year? Was it 2 years ago?
I think it was 2 years ago. It could be. No, last year.
I think it was the start of last year, wasn't it? We're kind of due. But that teaser was nothing.
So, yeah, it was like a Twitter video.
Yeah. It's a weird one. It might be there, but might not be gameplay.
Yeah, I could see CGI. I could see that. And kind of just a confirmation of what the game's title and what it is, whether it's first person or third person. Machine Games are obviously their bread and butter is first person, but people might argue with a character like Indiana Jones, you'd kind of want him in third person. So those kind of details in a CGI trailer could well be the way they go here. Like, I'd be expecting to see this one.
Yeah, and plus Indiana, I think Indiana Jones has got put in Fortnite as well, so free marketing. Yeah, it should be there. I mean, the other rumored or reported thing is Wolfenstein 3, which I think it was Pete Hines said years ago that Wolfenstein 3 is a thing, but then they got given Indiana Jones, so probably got paused, you'd expect.
Yeah, like, Wolfenstein 3 was reported long before Indiana Jones was revealed, and we just kept every event. I think there's a couple of podcasts probably where I said, oh yeah, we're going to see, I'd say we'll see Wolfenstein 3. Spoilers, we didn't. So I don't know whether a combination of factors might have kind of led to them kind of parking Wolfenstein 3. Firstly, obviously, the opportunity to work on Indiana Jones. But secondly, Wolfenstein Youngblood, which was a bit shit, which was a co-production between obviously Machine Head Games and Arkane Studios. I think around the same time, people forget obviously that they also released the VR game for Wolfenstein, which actually was fairly well received, but Youngblood was not, and therefore it might just make sense to get some distance between that, come out with Indiana Jones, and then maybe bring Wolfenstein 3 out in a few years. I wouldn't be expecting to see Wolfenstein. I don't think Machine Games are the kind of studio that could handle kind of two large products at once. So yeah, no, I'd agree. I'd say Wolfenstein 3 would be parked for now.
Yeah. Moving on then, Roundhouse Studios, former Human Head Studios staff, rumour multiplayer game based on popular comic book license. First I've heard of this, could be anything?
Yeah, I mean, Human Head Studios, they were the team that were, at one time, they were independent, but they were working for Bethesda on Prey 2. Which was the sequel to the original Prey game, which was obviously the game that came out, I think, in 2005 on the Xbox 360. It was an early game for Xbox 360. I think it had been initially due for, like, the GameCube, and it got pushed back and when it came out. It was a little dated, but it was a fun game. I played it. But Prey 2 was revealed, and it was supposed to be this game where you were like a human who'd been abducted by aliens and became a bounty hunter on like an alien planet. This is this open world game, and it looked absolutely amazing, but it just was over ambitious and they couldn't get it done, and it got cancelled. And obviously then Arkane were given Prey and brought out the reboot, which was in itself popular. But Bethesda saved Human Head Studios by bringing them in-house and creating Roundhouse Studios. And at the time Bethesda got them, they were rumored to be working on this multiplayer game based on a popular comic book license. And it's thought that Bethesda brought that project along with them. So they're still working on that. And if that's the case, I feel we have to see it now. If we don't see that now, clearly that project's been abandoned and they're on to something different, I'd say.
It sounds interesting, whatever the hell it is, to be honest. So that could be fun. Tango Gameworks, Ghostwire Tokyo's already just came out, so doubt we see them.
Yeah, we're not going to see. I don't think we'll see that, and therefore I don't think we'll see them at the showcase.
Yeah. ZeniMax, obviously known for Elder Scrolls Online. I think there is rumours they're making... I'm sure they're the ones rumoured with the Mandalorian game. But they are rumoured to be making something else, so it could be interesting from them. But I'm sure we'll see something from Elder Scrolls Online as well as that.
Yeah, I'm sure Elder Scrolls Online will make an appearance in some way. They always do at Bethesda showcases. I hadn't realized they were the ones that were rumored to be working on The Mandalorian. So, you know, that in itself is intriguing. But I suppose we've seen so little on that only time will tell.
Yeah, absolutely. I think quite a lot of Bethesda outside of the two we really know is intriguing question marks. That's probably how I'd sum that up.
Yeah, I think for me in general, probably the Bethesda is a bit more intriguing than the Xbox side of things, purely because I think the Xbox side of things, because they kind of played their cards so early and regret doing so. I feel that Bethesda probably have a few more surprises up their sleeves, and that makes them all the more intriguing.
Yeah, outside of Avowed, you kind of screwed the pooch there, haven't they? But before we finish up, we have a bit of second party to quickly go for. Interior Night as Dusk Falls?
Yeah, that's that like kind of adventure Telltale-y style game. I do enjoy those games, and the reveal was quite good from what I recall. I remember the dev being like really excited about it. So I am intrigued by this one, and I'd be hopeful that we'll see more of it and potentially even get a release date.
Yeah. Yeah, should be. Avalanche Studios group, Contraband. You'd think this one would be there because it got shown last year, if I remember correctly. It was only like a little title screen thing. But more and more details come out. It's a heist game. I think it's meant to be set in the 50s, I think that's the decade. But it sounds interesting, and it should be there, you'd think.
I'd expect to see this one. I mean, and I'm intrigued to see more of it. I like Avalanche. I was a big proponent of their Mad Max game, so I'm definitely intrigued to see more of this one. I'd expect this will be, you know, we've talked about how the expectation is gameplay, and I'm sure this is one of the ones that will be kind of heavily pushed in that sense, that we will see some solid gameplay for this one.
Hopefully.
And probably get a release date.
Yeah, hopefully. IO Interactive, we mentioned the James Bond thing might be there, but that's probably not the main rumour. Project Dragon, Insiders again, I think it was last year, said this exists. We obviously know IO for the Hitman stuff, but Project Dragon, by all accounts, RPG focused on dragons. It was rumoured to be at E3 last year. I don't think it's close enough for gameplay, but to see what it is, possibly.
Yeah, I don't know on this one, because obviously James Bond was revealed first, but that doesn't necessarily mean that was the product they were working on first. I don't know which one is further along, and therefore, you know, obviously if Project Dragon's further along, we could potentially see that revealed here. If it's James Bond where they're focusing, then maybe this game's still, you know, a bit of ways, and maybe then we won't see anything on this until next year. I mean, for all we know, you know, we're recording while Summer Games Fest is on. You know, IO could have announced their James Bond game at Summer Games Fest, and if that's the case, then clearly they're not going to be announcing Project Dragon at the Xbox showcase. It's a really difficult one to call. I mean, IO, though, in what intrigues me about them is, and what it brings me on to is kind of maybe the last thing worth talking in regards to the preview and the showcase. There has been rumors of Microsoft acquiring IO. Do you see that one having legs? If so, do you think we could see it announced here? And could we see some acquisitions in general being announced at this showcase?
Well, I think that the rumor was that it was IO, Avalanche, and Crystal Dynamics, I think it was. I mean, Embracer Group certainly got a deal. We mentioned that last show, didn't we? But these almost seem like tester games for it, but I think Avalanche, it's probably more of a tester game, whereas IO, if you buy IO, you get Hitman. And Hitman 1, 2, and 3 are all very highly rated, so yeah, if you get a chance to buy IO, it'd be mad not to, and then you get James Bond games, in probably not as exclusive, but you certainly get them in Game Pass, and then you get this get Project Dragon as well. And if that's a success, you've got everyone who made Project Dragon, which I'm sure I saw quoted is planned to be a game that's made for 10 years or something like that. So if that's a success, you'd be mad not to buy IO, and we know Xbox isn't done buying people when the Activision Blizzard goes through, so I don't think there'll be another big one on the cards anytime soon, but smaller stuff like IO and Avalanche, why not?
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I mean, it'd be strange in a way to see IO acquired, given that, like, they got away from Square Enix and then to be acquired by someone else. But obviously it's a different kettle of fish. Square Enix are a Japanese company. We've heard a lot of talk in recent weeks, especially with their sale of their remaining studios to Embracer Group, that there was a lot of difficulty there, like clash of culture and stuff. And that's probably what led to the studios not really excelling at Square Enix. And I'm sure a lot of those studios would be happy now to be under Embracer and under, you know, back in a Western culture. And that could lead to increased productivity from them. And, you know, maybe IO just feel they'd be more at home in Microsoft, who, of course, are a Western company. And, you know, Bethesda left Microsoft and have now been acquired by Sony, albeit probably with a lot more freedom. Or sorry, Bungie, rather. Yeah, Bungie, of course. So, you know, you can't rule that out. I mean, they definitely the kind of, as you said, I don't think we'll see a big acquisition anytime soon. There were also rumors, obviously, of, you know, Warner Bros. Shopping out their set of studios and a Microsoft for one interested party. I can't see that one because, you know, there was grumblings about their acquisition of Activision, about it, you know, some people wanted it to be kind of declined. It won't be, but there were kind of people in the powers that be that wanted that. So I don't think they want to rock the boat by making another massive acquisition. But something small like IO or Avalanche, I could potentially say, I think Avalanche is a more difficult deal to do because they have so many they're kind of like, in a way, like Remedy. You know, like Remedy would be tough to acquire because Remedy have like, deals with this publisher, deals with that publisher. It's messy. So I'm not sure I could see Avalanche personally. And obviously you can rule out Crystal Dynamics now because they've been acquired. But I do think IO, of all of them, IO is the one that has some legs for me. I could see that one happening.
To be fair, if Microsoft wanted to buy Avalanche, I'm sure they could have all the money in the world to sort out stuff like that. But yeah, maybe it's just like Stadia's second party. We saw PlayStation have loads of second party on for many, many years, didn't we?
I mean, as they say, why buy the cow when you can buy the cow's milk?
Yeah.
You know, so that does have to be a consideration.
I think IO probably does make more sense because you get the Hitman stuff and the James Bond stuff as well. So yeah, that's probably more of a goer. But that'd be much more interesting, I think, albeit Avalanche is very good in their own run. But yeah, the second party should be interesting. But what are you most looking forward to before we go?
Probably Avowed, to be honest. I want to see more of that. From the, you know, to pick one from each side, from Bethesda, I'd probably say Indiana Jones. I mean, I was a big fan of Wolfenstein and I like the Indiana Jones movies. So yeah, I'd go with that. How about yourself?
Overall, if Project Dragon was well ahead of where I think it'd be or expect it to be, it'd probably be that, just to see something completely out the blue. But realistically, I do agree with Avowed. I think that's well in my wheelhouse. And Bethesda, it's really boring, but I'll have to just to see what Starfield actually is, because, as I said when we were going through it, a lot of expectation, but if we get to see the new engine and stuff like that and what type of game it is, yeah, it's too, but it's really boring answers. But Project Dragon's probably the one that has the highest ceiling for me, just because it'll be something completely unknown. But yeah, the two boring answers there for Avowed and Starfield. But that is it. We almost tried to keep this a short show, but it was never going to happen. just under 2 hours here. But that's it. Me and Carl will be back later in the week, because this is the week of game reveals and stuff like that. We'll be back with the reveals. So hopefully you enjoyed this show. Catch you in a bit.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.